I don't know you personally, but I'm gonna guess you have a pretty nice TV. I mean, almost everybody does nowadays. Heck, my parents have a nice TV. If they have a nice TV, I'm guaranteeing you do too. Good size, crystal clear image, probably mounted. But you know what my parents don't have? A high quality soundbar. A lot of people overlook the importance of audio when it comes to a banging home entertainment system. Let's fix that. Mom, Dad, if you're listening, looks like you're getting brilliant sound for Christmas thanks to the Sonos Arc. Arc is the all-new premium smart soundbar for TV, movies, music, gaming, and more. You thought those CSI reruns sounded good now? You just wait until you experience it with the Sonos Arc. That immersive sound of CSI filling the room from wall to wall and floor to ceiling. Here's some cool features. Turn on speech enhancement mode in the app while watching TV and movies to clarify the sound of the human voice. This is perfect for when a character whispers or the action intensifies. My wife watches non-stop British dramas. Speech enhancement is a must. I don't know what these Brits are saying half the time without it. Makes it crystal clear. I can pick up on what they're putting down. Also, I got a new puppy, so I like to turn on night sound to tone down those loud effects for when she's trying to sleep. You never look a gift horse in the mouth, and you never wake a sleeping puppy, because you're watching Independence Day again. Big sound in that one. Gotta keep it down. Put on the night sound. And if the Arc isn't enough for you, you can easily add more speakers to create your perfect sound system. We're talking sub for bolder bass, pair of rear speakers for even more intense surround sound, and hey, let's get crazy. Place speakers in other rooms to enjoy listening all around your home. You ever heard of a toilet speaker? Yeah, apparently they have them at castles in Northern Ireland. Get yourself a toilet speaker. Guys, go to Sonos.com to learn more and get your Sonos Arc today.
Get a bit of the dribblicious into you. Sexy. Beautiful.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, September 23rd. I'm J.E. Skeets, and joining us live, as always, Scott Tasmellis.
I got a few stray hairs in my face. Just went for a jog. We call them doodahs, like our old makeup artist, Maxie. Shout out to Maxie.
Shout out to Maxie, indeed. We got the bearded one, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Ayo! We've got the international man of mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you today?
Hi, Mike. And last but not least, making this magic happen, JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to everyone joining us live right now on YouTube. Also to everybody listening or watching the podcast a little bit later in the day, keep your questions and your comments coming for our next Beach Steppin' podcast. Email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com. Tweet them in, @nodunksinc. We dropped a banger yesterday. I got to know, Lee, did the passport ever arrive? What's the update?
Pending.
Still pending.
Pending. Oh. Yeah.
All right.
But I got into a bit of a heated live chat conversation yesterday.
Why do you keep doing
with
these
an automated,
live chats,
with a bot? You got into it with a bot?
It wasn't a bot this time. It was someone from the visa department. And man, it got a little bit wild there yesterday. So we'll see. In the end, I'm fingers crossed, I'm actually going to see my passport today.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, excellent. Hopefully it arrives during the show here. But go check out yesterday's Beach Steppin' podcast. You guys sent in some great questions, some NBA ones, some non-NBA ones. Yes, Lee took us on a 15-minute story time about a passport that he sent off and is waiting for. He was live checking his mail packages updates on the air here. It was exhilarating stuff. And then we had a bunch of fantastic, TSN puns. So if you're a Canadian, you really enjoy those. Lee had me howling at him. Vic Router pun, so go check it out. We had some laughs, as we always do when we step on the beach. Okay, we got the up-down report today. We're going to get to Trey Kirby's Chicago's Bulls, who made a move, and we're going to talk expensive basketball cards. A lot of fun. But we'll start with the game, as we do here on No Dunks. Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals. Jamal Murray might be a superstar, Trey. He might be a superstar already. And the Nuggets, they hang on to win game three, cut the Lakers' lead to 2-1 in the West Finals. Before we get to you, Lee, first, congratulations, guys, to Paul Millsap on his first ever playoff win versus LeBron. Yes, peeved off Paul. He was 0-10 against LeBron in the playoffs, had never won, but finally got his first W. But Lee, where do you want to start with this game? Nuggets getting obviously a huge win here in game three.
Oh, it would have been awful if Paul Millsap was still hadn't beaten LeBron this morning, because it was a 20-point game with about 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Now, you knew that the Lakers were going to have a run in them, but it got way too close for the Nuggets there. They absolutely froze on the big stage there and completely forgot what they were doing out on the court. Now, credit to the Lakers defense, largely Rajon Rondo, who created a lot of steals and turned those into transition dunks for the Lakers. But all of a sudden, it looked like the Nuggets were going to suffer just a crushing defeat after what was heading towards a fairly impressive victory. We didn't think it was going to be a blowout, but the Nuggets went from that situation to being like, oh my God, they're going to blow this, and basically the series would be done. And then Jamal Murray was like, hang on, I'm awesome. I'm a superstar. I know how to close out games. And he did that with some incredible play, getting his teammates involved, but then, of course, hitting two monster three-pointers, really, that took the life out of the Lakers there in the last sort of minute and a half, 2 minutes. But oh my God, what a quarter that fourth one was there, because that Jamal Murray transition dunk put them up 20, and you could sort of see the Nuggets on the sidelines like, all right, we got this one, guys. We've got this one. Let's just not do anything crazy. And then all of a sudden, LeBron hits a three, Davis gets a three-point play, and then Rajon Rondo just gets up in everyone's face. The Nuggets forgot to shoot. They didn't know how to pass the ball. And you could just see they were like, they froze. They completely froze. But they recovered just in time to keep this series alive and get the win. But man, it was some tense moments there for the Denver Nuggets. But credit to them, because I think the fact that they have come back from so many deficits in the playoffs that they kind of remembered, like, oh, we have to actually close this game out. Let's get Jamal Murray the ball. And Jamal Murray, I mean, he took over and hit those big shots, and again found his teammates for some plays. And it was one of those, whew, we got that one in the end there for the Denver Nuggets. But what a great game. What a great end. And now the Nuggets, I'm not sure if this is more just one of those like, hey, we didn't get swept wins, or if it's like, we're back in this series.
Well, hold on. The Nuggets have arguably outplayed the Lakers for the last two games, right? Good chunks of it.
They have, but they're down 2-1. Let's not forget that.
And they got the Lakers right where they want them, mate. They're going to be 2-2 or it's going to be 3-1 after the next game. This was a must win. Huge performance by the Nuggets. But like you're saying, that fourth quarter, that was scary, man. That was like an 18-point lead was gone in 3 seconds, it felt like. They just had no idea. Once the zone came out, we haven't seen the Lakers play a whole bunch of zone, but it certainly threw the Nuggets off. And then, you know, Rondo hit a couple of steals and he kind of got away with getting a little handsy for the next couple of steals. But once the aggression picked up for the Lakers, they looked a little bit better. Unfortunately for them, the first 36 minutes, they didn't have that will to win. And that was the difference in the game, really.
Yeah, they come out after halftime and you saw the intense defense from the Lakers to get back in this game, but they obviously didn't bring that in the first half, especially the second quarter. Huge, huge, huge run by the Nuggets bench. That was really fun. A team that was playing super fast. They were getting into their half-court sets, even though the Lakers were getting back and getting into it real, real quick. And they got that big lead. And this was a game that the Lakers just, they were not bringing it, as you said, Trey. And a lot of this has to go on the stars if you're going to give Anthony Davis all that superstar love. He had 27 in this one, but he only had 2 rebounds. He's that good that he can have 27 boards, but his team gets out-rebounded 44-25. I'm not sure how a team with Anthony Davis, Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee, and LeBron James gets out-rebounded by 19 like that. That just shouldn't happen. The Lakers bench unit didn't come in that second quarter. Maybe the Caruso was getting to his head a little bit. Kuzma wasn't bringing it. That second quarter, huge lead for the Nuggets. And the stars took this baby home. Nikola Jokic is a freaking master. The way he is able to carve up an offense with his eyes – He doesn't need his hands or his feet. I mean, he just knows where the play is going to go as he comes down. He can read a defense incredibly well. I think, you know, we don't really throw out all the superlatives until a guy is like a super duper star, but his IQ, you got to throw that on him right now, even at his younger age here. He is such a smart player, and he was great, and he outplayed the Lakers front line in this one. And Jamal Murray, you got to kind of just take a look at the whole package here, what he's done in the playoffs. It's 17 games that he's played now. And this ain't a fluke that he's shooting. Over half of his shots are going in as a guard who's taking shots from the outside. That's an incredible number. Almost half of his threes, 48%, are going in. Another incredible number. 7.5 threes a game he's taking. So he's averaging 26 points. And that last ball that he threw up, it's like a sky ball. It's like when you're screwing around playing a pickup game at the end where you just throw it and try and touch the rafters and put it in. That's what it was. He almost skimmed the rafters, it felt like, down at Disney. I love how they won. And as you said, Skeets, they have been in control at least the last six quarters of this series. I like how they won I'm happy that they at least pulled one out, because it'd be easy if we come into next season, and I know as people who talk about the NBA every single day, we'd look back and say that Nuggets team, you know, it's just kind of a circumstantial team that got to the conference finals like the Blazers did last year. Blazers got swept last year by the Golden State Warriors. The Nuggets have come in, could have easily won game two. Now they win game three, and they feel freaking good about it, too. Mm-hmm. And the Lakers know now that they have to come out and play four quarters against Jokic and Murray, and then guys like Jeremy Grant obviously showed up big time. If he's getting to the rim and getting the most free throw shots, leading the game in free throw shots, that means the Lakers weren't ready, because he is just taking advantage of extra space. And so the Lakers got to be ready in game four.
Yeah, well, Trey's right, though. The Lakers are in a tough spot here. They can't win game four now. You can't go up 3-1 on Denver. You'd be a fool to do that after what we've seen them do in the playoffs. So they actually have to throw game four. They got to tie it up 2-2 and then get to work in a best-of-three series. That's what I'm predicting here. I'm glad you brought up Jeremy Grant because, yeah, Murray, you guys went over it, just ultimately did close the game after that very, very rough fourth-quarter stretch where they just kept giving the Lakers the ball. Here you go. Let's make this interesting. Let's see who's still watching this game late at night. But Jeremy Grant, playoff career high, 26 points, 7-11 shooting. You set a task, 10-12 at the free throw line. Jeremy Grant, 12 free throw attempts. He was picking off steals, scoring in transition over LeBron and Anthony Davis. He didn't hesitate to attack all night long. Honestly, at times I was like, who is that? Which guy is that? That's not Jeremy Grant. We don't see this Jeremy Grant all that often. He split a double team on the block once. Now, I don't know why the Lakers are even double teaming him there. But my God, Jeremy Grant stepping through with a little force. You know, they're trying to trap him there on the block. And he found Torrey Craig, I believe it was, cutting through the lane for 2 points. It was the best Jeremy Grant game I can ever remember.
That's the best Jeremy Grant game we've ever seen. But this guy's still one of the most underrated guys in the league. And it's been a bit of a coming out party for him in the playoffs, I think. Because against the Clippers, he was instrumental in shutting down Kawhi Leonard, you know. And that's a completely different player to be guarding than LeBron James. You know, LeBron does a lot more with his muscles. Whereas Kawhi can maybe be a little bit more with the quickness. But Grant was able to stick both of them. And that's pretty impressive for a Denver team that were like, who's going to be their third guy? That's always the question. Michael Porter Jr. had some nice shots last night, but you got to be able to do a little of both, right? You got to be a little offensive and a little defensive to really be that third guy. And Jeremy Grant was incredible last night. It looked like he was playing the hardest of anybody out there. You don't see him scoring off the dribble and pulling up for three and shooting free throws like you're saying, Skeets. It was just a very impressive game. The Nuggets really wanted it out there, and you know it's a cliche that you just got to bring the effort, but that was the case. The Nuggets were flying around for the entirety of the night. Their role players played awesome because they had the effort and the aggression to go out there and play with force and hit first. It was all those things, and it threw the Lakers off, and the Nuggets were just able to keep it up for the entire night, except for, you know, those 3 minutes when they were throwing the ball to the Lakers for no reason.
Another cliche is the Sixers could use that guy. One of their former players, Jeremy Grant. It's been said a bunch in the playoffs about a bunch of guys having some good times in the postseason. But Jeremy Grant, if Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic aren't awesome, then Jeremy Grant doesn't have this coming out party. But he has taken advantage of it. Big time. I love the superstar sandwich that he was in. It was Anthony Davis and LeBron James sandwiching him on a break. He was the meat, and he somehow was able to fight through the bread and score. It was
Are you hungry, Tess?
Yeah. Yeah,
I know,
sandwich.
You just went for a run. Yeah, you gotta eat something.
Yeah, that's true. Always. That's what Danielle. I'm gonna get upstairs after this, and Danielle's gonna say, "Are you hungry?" Because I'm gonna be irritable. I mean, always irritable after the show because I'm a hungry boy. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Jeremy Grant sandwich. Yeah, he was so good. He was really.
It's the consistency with him because you don't expect him to get 26 points a night, but you want him to be able to chip in a couple of threes here and there, a couple of those drives inside, and a couple of those cuts. Because again, we've talked about it with the Nuggets. If you cut on this team, there's a good chance Jokic or Murray will find you. So keep doing that. Across the entire game, just cut inside because your teammates will find you, and he can finish. He's athletic. He can get up there and put it down. So it's not like he doesn't get underneath there and then he's a chance to get blocked, unless of course there's a big defender there. But that's the thing I think with Grant. If he can provide that sort of a punch for them on both ends of the floor, it just takes a lot of the heat offensively off Jokic and Murray. I thought they were great because Michael Porter Jr. You know, he's had his moments as well, but he kind of lives in his own world a little bit. If he's not getting the ball, he sort of is like, I don't want to play, really.
Yeah, this is an interesting dilemma, I think, for Coach Malone, of whether you play Michael Porter Jr. is going to help you offensively, he's going to be able to score, or Paul Millsap, who helps you defensively, who's been really, really good, I think, against some of these Lakers bigs, but gives you nothing right now. I mean, Paul Millsap is just, he's sort of garbage on the offensive end, unless he's got a wide-open dunk created for Murray. But it's like that, like, ooh, the MPJ does that for us offensively, but gives it sort of all back at times because he checks out defensively. And then Millsap's the flip of that. You got to find that nice balance. So far, so good. I mean, he's done a really good job. It's like you almost have to have Millsap out there, though, even when he's giving you really nothing offensively, because he's so good defensively. He truthfully is.
Oh, absolutely. And that is the problem, because Millsap, a couple of times, he puts a ball on the floor and the teams just take it off him straight away. But if he's open for that three-pointer, I don't mind him taking that shot. He's shown he can knock that down, in the later stages of his career. But, yeah, I mean, Michael Porter Jr. hit a crazy shot last night, but then there are other times where he's a classic guy of, like, I haven't shot for a while, so if I get the ball, I'm shooting next. Yeah. I don't care what the stage of the game is. And that's bad for your team. That's frustrating for your coach. But he's a young guy. He'll learn from that.
But sometimes those shots go in. He's hit big fourth-quarter shots.
Sometimes they do go in, but it's more just the sort of mentality of, like, he's, like, thinking about himself first rather than the team. And he's important to them because, again, that big, long body that he's got there, it's hard to stop those shots, and he's a good shooter. But it just sort of feels like he's pouts when he's out there if he's not involved enough to what he believes he should be in.
Well, so, he's out playing Kuzma right now.
Yeah, Kuzma struggled last night for sure. Yeah. No doubt about it. But I think the Nuggets, I mean, they must look at this game and this situation and think there are certainly some things they can exploit on the Lakers. And their shots dropped. Monte Morris last night was hitting shots. Yeah. Gary Harris hit shots. I mean, they need those little contributions from all those guys to keep the scoreboard ticking, because if they go stagnant, that's where they really struggle, as we saw there in that fourth quarter.
Michael Porter Jr. had a little poke, too, on who was it up top? Nice little handsy on the defensive end. Yeah. Didn't think that was going to happen. But yeah, then he turns it over. That second quarter was monstrous with Monte Morris, Michael Porter Jr., Torrey Craig, Mason Plumlee, and they're playing with Jamal Murray. It was that really turned the game. They destroyed the Lakers bench, and then the stars come back in. Jokic came back in, and they did not give up the lead until. Well, they almost gave it up. But
almost gave it up. What did it got close? What did it get? 3-point game.
3 points,
right?
KCP had a three to tie it, and he bricked it.
Yeah, that's right. So we saw Dwight Howard get the start in the second half here in game three, but JaVale still started the game. Is the JaVale McGee, experiment here done in this series, Tass? Does Vogel just go to Dwight? Maybe they go to just AD, at the five. Does he switch things up here to, get a little life back into this team? Or is it just a case of, like, hoping some of these guys, especially, your Rondos and your Kuzmas and your Carusos and that they just play better? What do you think? What would you do if you're Vogel?
I think I'd start JaVale McGee again. I thought he was decent in his minutes. He's working his butt off. Dwight Howard just has to be better. I think he was part of the bench problem with Rondo and Caruso. I mean, what is Dwight doing throwing the ball into the stands that aren't stands? What is he doing? Just play better. Don't be a Dwight doofus. Be better. Just be the good player that you were in game one, and then for a little bit of game two. He's doing a good job. And apparently, this is the Athletic reporting, he was on the bench and he said, "Hey, Joker," to Jokic,
yep,
"Batman is coming for you."
Yeah, that sounds something exactly like Dwight Howard would
come
say.
Come on.
He's into the head games too much. He's taking it too far already.
They think it's over. That's the problem. Sometimes I think this bench just thinks, "Oh, man, look at us. 1-0. We're feeling good. Squeaked the game number two out. Oh, yeah, we got this thing." And it's resembling a tiny bit of the Clippers and the Jazz where they just stop playing.
Well, yeah, the energy and effort goes, and I think you saw that, especially like you pointed out, Tass. Like, the first thing that goes when you have no energy is like, well, you stop boxing out and stop gang rebounding and like hitting the glass, and they just got pummeled. I mean, Anthony Davis with two. How many did Dwight have? One?
One rebound,
Yeah, I mean, like, these are their big guys, and like, not getting it. Really anything off the glass, you're right. That's a big part of effort. No doubt. And credit to the Nuggets for wanting it a little bit more and the Lakers for maybe being checked out.
You got to beat the Nuggets. That's the main thing, right? That we found out through the playoffs. They're not going to roll over and just be beaten. It would be easy to say you lost game one pretty handily. It was a crushing game two defeat, losing on a last second shot, but they came out and they played hard. You can't just expect the Nuggets to roll over at this point, especially considering the Lakers don't really have an answer right now for Jamal Murray or Nikola Jokic. When both stars are able to play well, then it's just a matter of getting some decent performances from the role players, and you're in the game.
Yeah. What do you guys think of, Leo, start with you, LeBron's last couple of games here? What's going on with LeBron? Is he just trying to coast a little bit right now into possibly the finals where he can ramp it up a little bit again? Is it something else that I'm missing? What do you think?
He looked gassed at the end of the game there last night in the fourth quarter. A couple of times he sort of had his hands on his knees, and it was like, man, he looks exhausted. And now in that fourth quarter when they were to get things going, he hit that three and then he hit a couple of mid-ranges as well. And it was almost like LeBron sort of was looking around going, I don't really think I should have to do this anymore, but I'm going to have to because no one else is really performing tonight. But he drove inside a couple of times and he dragged his team back into contention. But I think it also took a toll on him. And again, he's just like, we need to have Anthony Davis is a guy who should have taken over. Now, he was good for most of the game, but he needs to get those other contributions from guys. And it just sort of looks to me that LeBron, the workload is a little bit heavy for him right now. That's what I thought, because he had a bit of a rough game. He got whacked by Jamal Murray. He got whacked by someone else as well later on. So he got a few hits to the jaw.
Yeah. When he got whacked by Jamal Murray, that flagrant one was...
He definitely got hit. I mean,
he emphasized. I just want to tell the story that the only moment Danielle looked up to the television during this game was the replays of LeBron getting hit. She said, whoa. Exaggeration much?
Yeah, a little bit. But listen, Murray's elbow got him. There's no doubt he connected.
Yeah,
and is a flagrant one for based on the way they call it these days. There was no intention there, I don't think, from Murray. It was more just because LeBron kind of lifts his arms up and then he tries to sort of shrug away from it and he connects him. But anyway, I didn't have an issue with that because they call that all the time. So they're consistent. But I just looked at LeBron in that fourth quarter and the look on his face was just like, I'm exhausted out here. And he's 35 years old. He's going to be 36 in a month or two. So, you know, at some point it is going to catch up with him, especially if he has to do all those things. And those mid-rangers, a couple of those mid-rangers, I thought he was there and he was looking around just going like, all right, I'm just going to shoot it then. That's it. And there was no flow to that offense. There was no ball movement. Now, whose fault is that? Is that the coach? Is it the players? Is it the leaders? I'm not sure, but it just sort of looked to me like LeBron was like, all right, it's up to me again to do this. And he nearly did it. He nearly did it. But that's not how the Lakers want to play. Certainly not how LeBron wants to have to play to win games, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I believe that LeBron is getting tired. We saw him get like four straight transition buckets there in the fourth quarter after everybody was saying this guy's washed. He's too old. And then it was like he's the fastest guy on the court again. Yeah, he got tired after that. But it's tiring to come back from 20 points in 6 minutes, you know? I think it maybe is more just a factor of I don't want to have to be the only guy doing this out here, and I can see that being the case. That's been the case for LeBron before, where he's passing the ball, trying to get everybody else involved. But he's had two subpar games, despite the numbers being all right. So you would have to imagine a game four from LeBron is going to be a classic.
Yeah, I thought game three was a lot better than game two, and his numbers, I don't even want to say them because it's hilarious to say that he had a bad game going 14 of 23. That's a pretty good percentage, 60% from the floor, going 30, 11, and 10. I mean, he turned the ball over a little too much, for sure. And yeah, he was not He was not full throttle the entire game. His legs looked a little dead. But at times he was picking his spots and he was outrunning the Nuggets. And it is hard, yeah, to come back from that big a deficit. And in the end, in the fourth quarter, that he played every single minute, they're plus 10. They won that quarter by a lot. But he wants other people to step up, like he did for his older guys, you know, when he was a Cleveland Cavalier and carrying the team at all times. He needed guys to step up in that first half a little bit. And, you know, they kind of disappointed. You know, Rajon Rondo said after game one and game two, he said, that's why LeBron brought me in when he played really well and had that great pass to Jokic. LeBron also brought you in to play tough defense and to play hard. And so the guys that LeBron brought in, GM LeBron, as Rondo is calling him and everybody else calls him, you know, they kind of failed LeBron in a way. They weren't up to the task, especially in that second quarter. It was a whiff fest in that the first few minutes, it was horrendous. They lost the first 3 minutes and 8 seconds of that second quarter by 13 points. The Caruso, Morris, Kuzma, Rondo, and him lineup. And so I don't know. I think he can be better, and he expected Anthony Davis to be better in this game. Nobody was hustling on his team, and they just decided in the fourth quarter, oh yeah, we got to come back. And they got to bring the intensity from the get-go.
Yeah, kill mode LeBron blocks that Grant layup in transition. That's what I noticed. It was like he destroys that and just pins that on the glass like we've seen him do time after time. He didn't actually really come all that closely. I don't know if he thought AD was going to do it or what, but he did look a little gassed even there at that particular moment in the game. And then you're right, got him back in it with Rondo, then getting a little more aggressive. The whistle was swallowed a little bit. They got all the turnovers, but then they came up a little bit short. Yeah, I'm sure LeBron will be fine. And as you guys have pointed out, still a monster game, just comes in a loss. And it's just like he's, maybe he's like, it appears to be he's trying to pick his spots here. And I'm with you, Lee. At other times, he's like, ugh. What do we do? All right, I guess I'll go here. Let me have, especially on a night where AD doesn't have it going. So for the most part. So yeah, we will see. This is great though. This is what we want. We wanted the Nuggets to win because we think Celtics Heat's going to go long. I think we all still agree with that. You know, 6 or 7. We don't want this ending in 4. We don't want this ending in 5 if we can. Let's stretch this out. Lee, your Nuggets in 6. Still technically alive.
Still alive.
Too.
Still alive.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, do you think LeBron, one more thing about him, is he doing Taco Tuesday down in the bubble?
I haven't seen
He
it.
Had a Taco Tuesday clip earlier in the bubble, maybe even during the seeding games. They're readily available. You know, you can get it easily in Orlando for sure.
But it is
it's
different.
Not a national taco shortage.
LeBron usually goes, what's he call it? Zero Dark 30, right? Yeah. With social media during the playoffs. He has been doing that. Is that affecting him? Is he looking at his screen too much, Taz? I'd love to check his screen time. I'd like to get my hands on his phone. See, compare it to last year. It's quite high. It's up 300%, I'm sure. Yeah. All right, so great game there from the Nuggets. Not only Jokic, Murray closing the deal, and 12 assists from Murray. He was a damn awesome point guard last night. That was the other part. It wasn't just like, oh yeah, crazy Murray shots. He was setting guys up, and it helped those guys hit shots. And Grant and Morris, like you guys went through the roster there. Let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Taking care of your mental health is a necessity right now, guys. Life is different. We're isolated. We're constantly worrying. We're drained. I know I'm a little bit more irritable, even more than normal. Yep. I can get snippy with Danielle, no doubt. But I just blame it on my flu shot. I got a flu shot a couple days ago, and I was a little cranky pants yesterday. I love that about vaccines. I'm sorry, this flu shot just has me feeling off. I'm not an anti-vaxxer like Michael Porter Jr., but I'd use the annual flu shot to my advantage.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And you should take advantage of Talkspace. Talkspace online therapy lets you connect with a licensed therapist for a fraction of the price of in-person therapy. Match with your perfect therapist from the comfort of your device and reach out 24/7. Taking care of yourself should not break the bank. And now, Talkspace covers 40 million people for online therapy through their insurance or employer. We all need someone to talk to. Talkspace wants to give us the support we deserve at a price we can afford. Match with your perfect therapist at Talkspace.com or by downloading the Talkspace app. And don't forget to use promo code NODUNKS, all one word, at checkout for $100 off your first month. That's $100 off your first month at Talkspace.com. Promo code NODUNKS.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, let's get to the up-down report.
Prepare your tubis. It's the up-down report.
Oh, we got some fun topics here to throw some thumbs on, thumbs up or thumbs down. Let's see you guys do the same in the YouTube chats or on Twitter at NoDunksInc. First one, the Chicago Bulls have hired former Thunder coach Billy Donovan as their new head coach. According to reports, the Bulls front office aggressively pursued Donovan, selling him on a partnership and vision for this talented young Bulls roster. I don't need to remind Trey, but the Bulls have spent the last 3 years in the lottery. They finished 7 games back of the Magic in the race. I throw that in air quotes for the 8th in the East this season. So Trey, we'll start with you. It's your team, baby. Are you up or down on the Bulls hiring former OKC head coach Billy Donovan?
I am so up on this. I am shockingly up on this. Wow. The fact that it even happened. Wow, what a mind-blowing thing that the Chicago Bulls would not cheap out on a coach here. They actually hired a coach who people have heard of before. I mean, it would have been nice. Maybe Ime Udoka would be a great coach.
Yep.
Maybe Wes Unseld Jr. would be a great coach. But this is the first coach the Bulls have hired since Scott Skiles that has previous head coaching experience. And I think it's huge. I think it's huge to no longer be a joke in the NBA. The Bulls are winning the offseason, and it's not even the offseason yet. Think about how the season ended for the Bulls. They didn't make it to the bubble in a season where they said they were going to make the playoffs. They had Garpax and Jim Boylan as their brain trust. Now we're into the conference finals, and you got Arturis Karnišević, Mark Eversley, and Billy Donovan. Things are trending the right way. Is Billy Donovan a good coach? We literally have no idea. On offense, it's been give it to the superstar. They will figure it out. But on defense, the guy's been versatile, and his defenses have always been good. We've seen in this year's playoffs that that's really important to have defenses who can play a bunch of different ways, and the Thunder did that. They were more of a trapping team when Paul George and Russell Westbrook were around, and yep. This year they played a little bit more of a conservative scheme with Chris Paul as their point guard and some other less impactful defenders, but they were still a top 10 defense. I'm impressed. Next step is bringing back Joakim Noah, and this is why I am the most excited. Obviously, Billy Donovan and Joakim Noah have a pre-existing relationship from college. They won a couple of titles. Joakim Noah is going to be available for the veteran minimum. Bring him in. Literally bring him in so that he can teach these young Bulls how to play winning basketball. The Bulls are back!
Oh,
I love
God.
It.
Trey Kirby is pumped up. You know who's also pumped up by all reports? Zach LaVine. You know, he said, wow, that'll be good. Now, you can say that sarcastically, actually. Wow, that'll be good. Or you can say it, wow, that'll be good with Billy Donovan in there. I think it is the latter. He's pretty pumped up. Tass, what do you think? Billy Donovan taking over the Bulls head coaching job.
Well, yeah, I think Zach LaVine's reaction while he was gaming, it would literally happen live while he was playing on a video game. And the reporters of the Bulls know that Zach LaVine doesn't necessarily get super amped. So when he did say, wow, it was genuine. He was pumped. As Trey said about whether or not Billy Donovan is a good coach, Billy Donovan's a name. It's better than a non-name, I guess. But when it comes down to making these guys who have a lot of potential on their roster, your Lauri Markkanens, your Kobe Whites, a lot of good guys, is he going to make them better? Is he going to get the most out of them? Mm-hmm. I thought Kenny Atkinson would have been a good fit for that, but maybe Billy Donovan could do it too. It is something that they didn't cheap out on, which is surprising. The most notorious thing that they've done in the front office are firings the last 15 years. That's the thing that they can put up on top of the list, and they replace them with Karnišević and Mark Eversley. And you got to expect Billy Donovan to do a good job because it seems like he's a good coach. There will be, I think, a lot of Fred Hoiberg comparisons if things don't go well. But it's I'm sure that all that experience in OKC, even though he started with KD and Russ and had a lot of superstardom, and then this year it was a little different with Chris Paul, and they did excel a lot. I'm sure that's helped. I'm sure that that will be anti-Fred Hoiberg because he's coming in with some NBA experience. So it's going to be on the floor where it's all proven, really.
Yeah, yeah, but it is interesting. Hey, coach. We're going to take away all your all-NBA players. Now let's see what you can do. Because that's what he's going to have here in Chicago. But young talent, no doubt. I'd add Wendell Carter Jr. to the mix, like you were saying there, Tass, with Lauri Markkanen and Kobe White. Maybe they can stay healthy. That would be a great start for the Bulls, too, so they can actually have some of these guys out on the floor. Are they a playoff team, Lee? You think next year, Chicago Bulls?
I don't think so. I mean, let's just wait and see what happens in free agency and draft, because maybe they can find someone there. But that's the thing with Billy Donovan. He kind of left OKC because I think he looked at that they're heading into a sort of a rebuild. If you assume Chris Paul won't be there, and maybe one or two of those other veterans, Gallinari and maybe Stephen Adams, he's going to a situation where they're in a similar position right now, Chicago. They have some talent for sure, but some of these guys haven't been able to stay on the floor, and we just don't know quite what the ceiling is for someone like a Wendell Carter or a Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine as well. I mean, he's a good scorer, but there's some pieces there, but it's not a completely different scenario that he was probably facing there in OKC, but it's a different situation, and so maybe he can get something out of him. It's going to be a big test for him because he has to, he has to get these guys to perform to a higher level than they've played at before, but it's not Jim Boylan, so...
Yeah, I was going to say, this might be the ultimate addition by subtraction.
Exactly,
here, right?
Exactly.
Just taking out Boylan might work.
It's one of those, like, it just feels good to have a guy who you think is actually going to get some results out of these guys. Whether they're going to be, like, a playoff team or not, I'm not sure, but it just sort of feels like there's going to be a little bit more accountability, a bit more stability, and a bit more hope, at least, with the Bulls, because... Jimmy just, things were just crazy there. And,
do you think they take down the punch clock?
No, they're going to keep that in as a little tribute there to Jim Boylan. But no, so I'm not sure. I'm really not sure because, we talk a lot about, is a coach, how important is a coach? Well, it comes down to the talent of his players, but can he communicate to them? Can he get these guys to reach the potential that we see in those players? Because, I mean, when was the last time anyone saw Wendell Carter or Lauri Markkanen even play? Honestly, like it feels like it was like 2 years ago now because it's been so long and they've been injured. But again,
I was watching them in March.
was Markkanen still playing? I thought Markkanen was out earlier.
Carter was definitely hurt at that point.
In Wendell Carter's rookie season, I remember thinking like this guy's like a Tyson Chandler type of guy. He can block shots. He can catch those hoops. He can be impactful, but it just feels like so long since we've seen these guys play meaningful basketball.
Lee, Trey and I had the Bulls making the playoffs. I had Boylan for coach of the year. I mean, I was all in. I love Kobe White, who looks amazing one game when he hits eight threes, and he looks like garbage when he can't hit one. I mean, yeah, I was all in on the Bulls.
Yeah, I mean, is Kobe White more than just an upgrade on Nick Young? You know, a guy who can shoot but doesn't really do much yet. No, I'm just saying, is he more a guy who's like, hey, this guy is actually a reliable guy. Yeah. He can get you five or six threes a night and play defense. I mean, if he could do that, then there's something there. But if it's no good him shooting eight threes if his opponents are shooting eight at the other end. So
are we going to see what Donovan did in OKC with these three guard lineups? Are we going to see a lot of, White, Satoransky, and... like Zach. A Zach LaVine.
Satoransky, get him out of here. We're bringing back Derrick Rose as well.
Oh,
I hear Al Horford is now a trade target. Corey Brewer is going to be in the mix. They're going to get Torian Green out of retirement. You can lock the Bulls in for a playoff spot. You can lock Zach LaVine in for an all-star spot. Lee, the Bulls are on a winning streak. They won their last game March 10th over the Cavs. Markkanen and Carter both in the lineup.
Wow.
This has been a great pandemic for the Chicago
Bulls. I think Kobe,
they got all
Kobe
the trash out, and they're bringing in people you've heard of. This is huge.
I will say, like I said, Lauri Markkanen, I think he's a very talented player, and I hope someone like Donovan can really get that out of him and become, I'm not going to say the big D word, Dirk, but, like a guy who can shoot and play defense and is a tough matchup. Because he's big. What is he, 7 feet?
Yeah.
And he's got that nice shot when it goes in, but... it's just the Bulls have been a mess for so long.
Looks a lot nicer when it goes.
Bad show.
But the Bulls, I mean, they've just been such a chaotic franchise the last few years. Like Billy Donovan can't just kind of all of a sudden make them like competent immediately. It's going to take a little bit of time, but fingers crossed that maybe things are brighter days ahead for the Bulls.
And when you look at like their chances of making the playoffs next year, because you start looking at the teams, right? And you're like, well, okay, that team, are they going to be there? Yeah, they're probably going to still be there. They're going to be there. It's like, who is dropping out of those top eight spots. It ain't going to be the Nets. That's really unlikely. I guess you're looking at the Magic, right? I mean, because what do you think? Bucks, Raptors, Celtics, Pacers, Heat, Sixers, and then Nets, like I said? I mean, I don't think any of those seven teams. Maybe an injury happens to one of them, so yeah, there's a slot there. So it'll be tough. It's not a given. And then you got the Wizards, you know, in theory getting better if John Wall comes back. So the Hawks could be better with all their youth.
Yeah, the Hawks.
It's going to be very, very difficult, but they got to be. They got to be in a – got to keep their guys healthy. That is a huge part. Just have these guys play together, for crying out loud, for a good chunk of games and months here. And then maybe make a push there for the eighth seed. Trey, I'm back on board, baby. Don't you worry.
There we go. Hey, only one of those teams that you mentioned just signed a reigning coach of the year.
Oh, wow.
You know, you're saying
Co-coach
of the year. Emmy, Golden Globes edition. No doubt about it. But, Lee, you got to admit, literally hiring Billy Donovan turns around the franchise instantly because Jim Boylan is not there anymore. There's no way that any potential free agent would look at the Chicago Bulls with Garpax and Boylan there and say, yep, that's who I want to play for. Just the idea that Billy Donovan is back is in the coaching spot is image rehab right away. Just having a competent guy there. It's huge.
And they brought in Mark Eversley as well, who apparently has a very good reputation and Karnišević we talked about there. But there's that one little shadow that still lurks in the franchise. And it is Pax. He's still there.
He's still there. He didn't get a mention in the press release.
No.
That was huge. That was also a win for the Bulls. Everything is good right now. As long as they don't have to play games, I'm always optimistic about the Bulls. This is exactly how I felt in October 2019. I'm like, they got it. They got it. Yeah. Come on. As soon as the ball tips, I'm ready to be disappointed. But right now, I'm loving this long layoff because it's all good.
I think the Bulls have at least read the room, and it's like, just keep Pax's name out of it. Just don't say anything. He can still be here. Just don't say his name, because that's what just is still there. As long as he's still there, you know he's got the ear of Reinsdorf there, and that's dangerous. But Karnišević has got his coach, he's got his assistant GM there, and now what do they pick? Seventh in the draft, I think.
They usually do.
Yeah, so
they're fourth, right?
Yeah,
they're fourth. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, so you know, there's still some positives still to come out of this season. I don't know who they're going to get in that number four spot, but at least the Bulls should have a better season than they had last season.
Good luck to the Bulls. I don't think they're doing anything in free agency because they're basically locked up with everybody. One guy you didn't mention who doesn't
How
play.
How can they be locked up? How can they possibly be locked up?
Because they're paying Otto Porter $28.5 million.
I still believe in Otto Porter.
I'm pretty sure he's going to take that player option. I think he's their highest paid player. And then Zach LaVine, Thaddeus Young, Satoransky, Felicio, they're all getting paid. So they're approximately, this is just an estimate, but they got like $119 million locked up. So this is going to be on Billy Doe to make these guys work. And Zach LaVine, we saw him last year get very angry at Jim Boylan. He didn't like him. He wanted more superstar sort of role on that team. And Billy Donovan, if you read his history, if you look at his history, he gave that to Kevin Durant. He gave that to Chris Paul. Russell Westbrook in between there? That's right. If he gets that, if Zach LaVine gets that, is he going to be an accountable star? Is he going to lead this team in a good way? I mean, he did have a lot of the reins, but I don't know. Now, player development alongside Zach LaVine, like an Otto Porter. You know, is Otto Porter going to come along and take this team to the playoffs? We shall see. There's a lot of talent, but that's the issue with a lot of potential. I don't want to say the P word, but I'll say it. It's potential. It's not necessarily productive potential. You know, these guys all have to come out and get better. And it's going to be up to Billy Doe's staff to do that.
We will see. All right, next one here. This is sort of bad news for NBA fans, but there likely won't be any Christmas Day basketball games this year. Commissioner Adam Silver told CNN, I guess it was Bob Costas on CNN on Tuesday, that the goal for 2020-21 season is to play a standard season, and he believes it would be better off getting into January for the tip. So there had been talk that next season could tip off as early as Christmas Day, but there's been speculation that could start later, maybe like a Martin Luther King Jr. Day on January 18th, or even, you know, there's still talk of it starting in March and then maybe going through October. So I'll ask it this way, Tass, you can go first. Are you up or down on the likelihood, the chances of starting next NBA season on MLK Day, let's say, mid-January there, that January 18th date? What do you think, up or down?
Well, I'm down on locking down a date. There's just no point. Just push it back and say, We don't know, because that's the honest truth. And continuing to throw out these dates, it's sort of pointless. And there's still an issue here in the US of A. The cases for coronavirus are on the rise again, and it's going to get cold, and people are going to get indoors. And I'm not a scientist, but the cases are going to go up even more so in poorly ventilated areas instead of people being outside like we've all been, like I've been jogging around these last few months. And so there's really no point in saying, hey, we're going to start on Martin Luther King Day. We know, or we assume that they're not doing a bubble next season. It's highly, highly unlikely with teams flying around. This isn't the same sort of scenario where there was a hiatus and they were able to finish the season with some seeding games and a playoffs. This is a whole season we're talking about. I think they can push it back, and I think there's no point in trying to nail down a date right now. And I'm sure they want fans in the stands. That's definitely a priority. And fans in indoor arenas, it's unless it's a campaign rally, which shouldn't be happening right now, that's not happening in the U.S., and so it shouldn't be even contemplated right now. I think just chill. MLK Day, yeah, of course it's a good business decision to have on a holiday all your games on the first day, and it's not necessarily doing anything for civil rights. I mean, it really would be a business decision. I say just chill. Just chill. We don't need to know. They can push it back. And the NBA has shown they're very good and very adaptable. And if it's March to November, there's other issues right now. I think we can chill on the thinking about a date.
Okay, but maybe thumbs up then, Tass, on at least Silver is saying this is not happening on Christmas, basically. I mean, he's saying, look, you're not going to see next season starting this calendar year. You know, it will likely be sometime in 2021.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I agree with that. What do you think, Trey?
Yeah, it seems like it's not going to happen this year, which the only question then for me, because like Tass is saying, who knows when they're actually going to start up the 2021 NBA season. Maybe it will be an all 21 season starting in March, but yeah. It seems unlikely that we will ever get back to the standard October through June schedule, because the league apparently still wants to play 82 games for next season, as you would expect. So if that's the case, and you start in even February, if you're talking about a six-month season, that ends in, what, August-ish? And maybe September, and then you're not going to start the next season in October. So we might be looking at a completely different schedule for the rest of our lives here.
Yeah, I would throw into that, too. I saw Tim Reynolds tweeting about it. Let's not forget about the Olympics, too, and maybe complications that arise with that if you start the season in March and it goes later, and then the Olympics actually do happen, you know, sometime in the summer. Are NBA players just going to not go? Is there any sort of hiatus that happens like they've done before in the NHL? That's just another little wrinkle. It's not that important, I'll agree, but it's still there to be decided on. What do you think, Lee?
Yeah, it's just so hard to know what the next 6 months in the world looks like, really. For me, you know, to have fans indoors in stadiums, everyone sort of touching things again, just doesn't seem like the right thing for me. So my focus would clearly be on just trying to get the league back in some format, whatever that is, and then when it becomes safe again, then we can maybe start allowing fans to come in. But I know that
they're hoping on rapid testing and stuff
exactly,
like that. Of course,
and I understand from a financial point of view, they want fans back. That's clear. There's no doubt about it. But to me, that would not be the priority. I would say, well, if we can figure out just a way to get the players and the teams to travel safely to be able to play the season in some form, that should be our goal. And if that's in January or if it's in March or even if it's later, it doesn't really matter to me, because I think it's more important that once it starts, you want it just to be able to continue, rather than, like, again, if you go back in, let's say, January or February, and all of a sudden one or two teams just contract the virus, then you kind of have to suspend the season, I would think. Again, no one really knows, because it's just such a crazy time. So it's such a tough thing for Adam Silver to be able to even figure out and have to tell the owners and the players and the Players Association, because it's like, we just don't really know what's going on. So, you know, hopefully something happens and hopefully we can get it up and running again. But when that is, I honestly have no idea right now.
What's your personal take, Tass? Speak selfishly if you want. Would you like the idea of the NBA calendar being March to October instead of October to, you know, June?
No.
But which one would you prefer?
No,
do you want your summers off? Or what do you...
I finally figured out how to evaluate or how to figure out how many seasons a guy has played now, with even though he goes over two calendar years. I finally figured it out. And I know we all want to have a season within 1 year, but I'm selfish in that Even though we all want to say, yeah, back in 2022, LeBron led the league with 44 points a game. Yeah, but I'm okay. I'm okay being really it being the only convoluted sport that really runs over 2 years. Because even the NFL runs over 2 years, but we all they
yeah,
all
it's playoffs, barely, right? Yeah, it doesn't really
yeah,
matter.
They
for
all
the
say
most part.
That the other year. I don't know. I mean, I think the NBA and I guess selfishly. The summer's the best thing to have off. The NBA.
Well,
wants
that's
off.
What yeah, oh, that's yeah. what I was really trying to get at. I was like, do you want the summers off still, or do you want to be watching basketball indoors all summer long? Which is what you would be doing. What we have been doing here, which has been all right too, because you're not going anywhere anyway. So maybe that. But when that can
it's
change,
hot in the south. Nobody's outside anyway.
Yeah, it's a good point. Hey, Trey, you want to be able to stay indoors during this hot summer, watch basketball, and then hey, when the winter hits here, you can. Fly somewhere warm if you want to.
Ooh, a snowbird.
Yeah.
Maybe I could, but, you know, as a Bulls fan, I'm happy with them delaying the start of the season as long as possible. That's all good for me, baby. If you're taking a whole year off, that's a year of the Bulls not being disappointed.
Oh, my God.
But, I mean, honestly, if they're playing during the summer, they won't do it the same way it was in the bubble, right, where the games are starting at 12:30 and they end at 12:30 in the morning.
Yeah, good point.
It'll be back to normal evening basketball, you would think, and in that case it's just a change in your schedule. I like having the summers off, but you know, I'm an adaptable kind of guy. Humans adjust.
All right please, is it, you don't care at all, do you?
Oh yeah, I want the summers off. That's when you go traveling, man. I mean, yeah,
just travel during the winter.
Yeah, the school holidays are, the boys are on holidays. I want to go traveling. Yeah, I don't want to go in winter. Yeah, I mean, it's summer's always much more fun to travel in.
Okay,
but, yeah,
all right, thank you for speaking honest on it. Final one. This one's weird. A rare and coveted Giannis Antetokounmpo, autographed patch rookie card sold for a record-breaking $1.812 million at auction on Sunday night, according to, guess who? Darren Revelle. This guy loves expensive cards. This card was from the 2013-14 National Treasures set. So in addition to it being a one-of-one card, Beckett, I guess, graded this card a 9, and the autograph on it from Giannis a 10. My question, up or down, Lee, on spending nearly $2 million on a Giannis rookie card?
Listen, I'm down, right? So you guys know I've been popping packs recently, you know, on our Instagram live there, and I'm trying to mix up the cards because I've got a lot from the early 90s. I want to get some from the mid to late 90s, and... Recently, I spent $120 on a full box, like 36 packs of Upper Decks, I think they were, or Fleet, whatever they were. And I regretted it from the moment I did it. I was like, what am I doing spending this much money on cards? I'm a 44-year-old man just to open some cards and tell some stories.
Yeah,
but
we can write that off.
Yeah,
I mean, we can write that off. That's a business expense.
Yeah, it's fine and it's fun, but I'm like, God, what am I doing here? You know, so to someone to spend... $1.8 million on a Giannis Antetokounmpo card because it has a little piece of his game-worn jersey on there
jersey
as well.
Jersey autograph. And, okay, am I reading this correctly? There's only one of these cards ever made?
Apparently so, and...
That's so fucking stupid to me.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is stupid. That doesn't make any sense.
So apparently someone bought it as well a few years ago but returned it to the seller because it had a little smudge on it.
Yeah.
Right, he paid $7,000 then, which is still ridiculous, but he returned it. Now it's gone on to sell for $1.8 million. The same company that paid $1.8 million for a Michael Jordan card a few weeks ago. So someone out there has spent $3.6 million on two cards. Right. I mean, that's just ridiculous. What are you going to do with it? What do you, when I finish popping packs, boom, just throw them in the pack. That's all I do.
Wow.
I got a big bag of cards here.
At least put them on the spokes of your bike, man.
Yeah. We used to do that. That was great. So, I mean, what are you doing? If you've got $1.8 million to send on cards, give me a call. I'll sell you a few cards, man. You won't have to pay $1.8 million for them. I'll sell them for $50 a pop. You can buy as many as you want because it's just crazy to me that people just would spend that much. Like, what is this card? What is it going to give you? How are you going to get return on your investment for that?
Sell it for... $2.5 million when Giannis goes for another. See, the Giannis part is interesting. Yeah, LeBron, I think he had his rookie card just sell for like $1.8 million, something like that. You talked about Jordan. That makes a little sense because those are like obviously, you know, players that are in the GOAT discussion, right? I mean, if not the GOAT. Giannis is not there yet. I mean, this is an investment, right? This is like banking on Giannis. doing some special things still, Tass, in his career. I mean, for paying that much money. I get that it's a one-of-one. I still find that very weird. That doesn't seem right to me. Just that doesn't sit right with me. There should be more than that. It should be like a Willy Wonka golden ticket. There's got to be at least five. But this is Giannis, Tass. I mean, he's super young still. You know, knock on wood here, but could blow at his knee. Game one of next season. You know, he's starting in a weird time. We're starting on Martin Luther King Day. He's not ready for it. Blows out his knee, and suddenly that card goes down. That's a risk, man. Your money, Melis. What do you think?
It sounds like a rich guy who wants a card. I mean, I don't think it's that much different, Skeets, than you paying $700 to frame something and put on your wall. It's just relative, right? Like, would a lot of people put $700 into a towel like you did?
Yeah, because you can look at it. Take a peek at that. Where do I go?
Yeah, it's always hard.
You try putting a card up on the wall, Taz. Everybody's going to be like, huh? Who is that? Is that TK4?
Hey, TK4? Did you lay a card down on your bed there? You got to frame that card.
Crazy Schumann. I'll stop stealing Schumann's jokes now. Yeah, no, but would you spend $2 million on a card?
I don't have $2 million, Skeets. Well,
I think you do. You got 44 acres, man. Sell your land. You can buy a couple cards.
Sell off a parcel of land. Come on, guys. This is obviously an incredible investment. The first guy spent $7,000 on it, but he's a dumbass. He returned it, and now it's worth $1.8 million. You sell it again, how much is it going to be worth? $5 million? $10 billion?
More for it, like...
No way. Somebody's going to pay $500 for it. That's how much they're going to pay for it. It's just this rich guy who's got too much money to do anything with. Like, he just doesn't know where to spend
but
his money.
But there's other rich guys that might be wanting to...
Yeah, yeah. The rich guys can trade it at a... You know, go hang out at their little bike fest and throw him off spokes and pay $2 million for him. He just paid $2 million for a card with a stain on it. I mean, that's
sucker.
Come on.
Wasn't even graded a 10 from Beckett, you fool. But there is a weird explosion going on here in cards in the business. I think you have something to do with this, Lee, because I saw that last month, a 2009 autographed Mike Trout, baseball player Mike Trout rookie card, again, a one of one, sold for $3.9 million, Lee. The most expensive baseball card ever sold, surpassing, what was that old guy, Honus Wagner?
Honus.
Yes. That's crazy.
Surely you can find something better to spend your money on than that. If you've got 3.9 to burn, like, donate it to charities, help some people out. I mean, buying a basketball card? How stupid are you to spend that much money on it? Seriously.
Bought a box of them for $120.
Exactly, $120, and I regretted it. And I'm like, all right, I'm gonna make cuts around here somehow, so that I repay my family, because I feel like I stole from my family that $120. But
You should just resell the cards. They're obviously worth a lot. You're just throwing them out in the garbage, man. Yeah. You should be making millions of dollars.
Well, so I don't throw them in the garbage. I have a big bag where I just throw the used ones in there. But speaking of popping packs. Yeah. Today, join me at 4 p.m. Eastern, where I pop open a pack with our friend, Nate Jones, is going to join us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, okay, interesting.
Yeah, I thought he'd be a good guest because Nate knows 90s basketball better than anyone. So, should be fun. 4 p.m. Eastern, No Dunks, Inc. Oh, okay. Live.
Nice. Excellent. I thought it was going to be the delivery guy delivering your passport. Hey, I'm Tass Melis of No Dunks on The Athletic. Do you want to walk into a room with your chest puffed out, your neck long, and your shoulders broad? Of course you do. For me, getting clothes that fit properly can give me the confidence I need to do just that. Indochino hooked me up with the gear that fits perfectly. I dreaded getting dressed for my Zoom meetings, but now I change for each one with a big smile on my face. I did a virtual fitting on Indochino's slick website for them to get my measurements. I didn't have to talk to a single human. There are so many options. Here are a few I chose. A long shirt, because I tuck it in. I got a No Dunks monogram, and I decided against a shirt pocket. I sincerely did not think that custom fit clothing was this affordable, and all customizations are included in the cost. The website keeps your measurements on file so you never have to re-enter them. The best part, Indochino suits start at just $2.99 with all customizations included. Indochino is a no-brainer if you're getting married. Visit one of the Indochino showrooms across North America. or book a virtual appointment like I did and shop online at Indochino.com. And right now, you'll get $30 off any purchase of $3.99 or more when you enter code TASS. Not ass, TASS, T-A-S, at checkout. That's Indochino.com, promo code TASS.
Okay, time for Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Tweet of the night on yesterday's Beach Step, and we started talking about nicknames that we use for players that nobody else uses. So we put it out to our Twitter account asking that very question. What are some NBA nicknames you use that no one else does? Like JD's family, who calls Fred VanVleet Sexy Fred, or the future nickname for Kyrie Irving once he returns, 100% Dribblicious. People came through with some great answers. First, this one. From Harrison Peoples, I love calling Aaron Baines bangers, but no one else seems to.
Okay.
I actually think this is not bad.
Yeah.
Bangers, not too bad. I would gladly use that. This one from Sergio Collado, a longtime fan. Freight Train James for LeBron. I think it sounds cool, but never caught on, I guess. This sounds to me like a very old-timey baseball nickname. Freight Train James.
Yeah, I'd buy that baseball card.
How much do you think that one's worth?
A couple mil easily.
Oh, yeah. It depends on the stain on the back. Up next up next is from Andrew Willis, who says, Bo Biscuits for Bojan Bogdanovic. I like this one because it reminded me of Gray Biscuits Vasquez, yeah. One of the all-time great TBJ nicknames. I think I've only called Gravis Vasquez Gray Biscuits ever since then.
Yeah. I can't believe that one didn't come up yesterday.
Yeah.
That one and the Armadillo Cowboy for Joe Johnson. Those
very
are
good.
Two
All
classics.
Right. A couple of more here. This one's from Great Dane 92. Dana says, Sweet Baby Booch for Chris Boucher. I kind of think this one will catch on, at least amongst no dunks, between, you know, Lee's obvious fascination with kombucha and Skeets' obvious love of sweet baby raised barbecue sauce. You put them together on the Raptors, it's just perfect.
But hold on, doesn't he have like a pretty good nickname? They call him Slim Duck.
Slim Duck?
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know, it's memorable. And he,
it is,
know,
it is.
Suits him for some reason.
Sweet Baby Booch, I like the sound like of it though. Last couple here. This one is from Danny G, Slammin' Danny G. Yep. I tried to get JV Nasty to catch on for Jonas Valanciunas for years, and I'm still trying. It's not bad, but actually bad is this one from Maddie Macher, who says, for some reason, my dad started calling Jonas Valanciunas Valerie's Anus exclusively.
That's funny.
It makes sense when that guy's the ass pro shops player of the game every single night. Sorry, sorry. Valerie's anus. Good stuff. Thanks for chiming
it's
in,
great.
Folks.
Great stuff. All right, guys. Game 4, Eastern Conference Finals. Back up tonight. Do the Celtics even this series, or do the Heat push them to the brink of elimination? What's one thing to watch for, Tass? Game 4 between Celtics and Heat. What do you got?
Well, I'm going to be watching the Celtics defense if they come out with that tenacity that they came out in the first half. And I'm also just watching them because I love watching Marcus Smart, even though it can be a little polarizing, play defense, as well as Jaylen Brown. Those guys are so cool to watch. And you guys talked about it on Sunday's show. It's the finesse, great defense of Jaylen Brown versus the ruggedness, flopping defense of Marcus Smart. Those guys are just fun to watch on the defensive end. Now, if they are engaged for 48 minutes, it's hard on the Heat. It's just so hard because they don't really have a guy, sorry, Jimmy, who can take over right now. It just hasn't materialized on that end. And it feels like the Celtics have a little bit more of that. The Celtics played a complete game in Game 3. That's why they won. And can they do that again? I'm going to be watching the defensive end, see their scrappiness level and just how freaking talented they are on that end, because they are a joy to watch defensively.
Trey, what are you watching for?
Kind of the exact same thing, but from the opposite angle as Tass. I want to see a Jimmy Butler takeover game. You know, we've been talking him up as one of the best players in the bub, one of the best players in the NBA, and he's had some crazy clutch moments, but it would also be nice to see another one of those 40-point games from Jimmy Butler so that we're not having to see yet another fourth quarter comeback fall short. That's happened a couple of times in the past couple of nights. So yeah. I'd like to see the owner of Big Face Coffee grind up some espresso and really come out firing here early on. That being said, I'm still rooting for the Celtics. I want this one going seven, just like I want every series going seven. Mm.
Okay, okay. Lily, what do you think tonight?
I think the winner of tonight's game wins the series, whichever team takes it. Yeah, and honestly, I think the Celtics looked at that game three and were like, especially with Gordon Hayward back here, they've figured out a little bit of how the Miami Heat play, and they know that they can attack that that zone and attack the paint, and that's what they need to do to win. So I think the Celtics actually win this one tonight. So okay. And then that means I think they're going to win the series. I pick the Heat. I hope that doesn't happen. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm right at the same time because I'm sort of hedging on both teams here. So
back to a Jennifer Hedger here.
Yeah,
here
I just thought that the Celtics kind of, you know, again, they were close in the first two games, and the game three they figured it out, and Hayward's back, and he's rested. He looked good. He didn't have a huge numbers game, but his hand out there is very, very important for them. And I thought Jaylen Brown's like, he's just going to go so hard at the rim tonight, I think. So I think this is a huge game. This is not pivotal. This is super pivotal.
Oh my god, super pivotal in a game four? I don't know about that, but if you say so. Hopefully it's a close one. Hopefully, I think we're going to get some fireworks here tonight too between these two teams, because they're both going to want this one. It's going to be scrappy. Oh, yeah. These teams play hard. We could see some forehead-to-forehead action. My buddy Grish could be excited for this one. Yeah, we'll see. Guys, email us your questions and comments for the next Beach Steppin' podcast. Grab yourself some sweet No Dunks t-shirts at nodunks.com, and if you haven't already, subscribe to The Athletic. Tell them we sent you. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. Sign up for $1 a month. That's it for today's show. Don't forget to go listen to yesterday's Beach Steppin' podcast. A lot of laughs had in that one, and we'll be back tomorrow morning to break down game four, Heat Celtics. Enjoy the game, guys. Clipper Bros,
you heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, just like the H in Honus Wagner's name, the H in huge is optional.
Embrace the day, people.